Welcome everyone. We will today read a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Text 14. Daivihyesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mama eviye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies. And all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal, superior nature of the Lord. But due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabuddha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature, due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, mayinam tu maheshvaram, which means, although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the Supreme Magician, the Personality of Godhead, who is Maheshvara, the Supreme Controller. Shvetashvatara Upanishad, chapter 4, verse 10. Another meaning of guna is robe. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul, and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun, passion, and Tamagun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Shweta Ashvatara Upanishad, chapter 3, verse 8, confirm this in the phrase tam eva viditva, which means freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur eva nasamshayaha, which means there is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Daivihyesha gunamayi mamamaya durachya mam evye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shivaya Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanandaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Vastu Chyada Vishitara Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vachikapa Trivibhyas Jagrika Sindhu Vyadacha Paditana Bhava Nityo Vaishnava Vyam Namo Namaha. Yes, this is very famous verse, important verse in Bhagavad Gita. And this, the message is extremely important. Now Krishna explains that Bhumya apo nalo vayu kamano bhurire vacha ahankara ityame bina prakritya ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, Lord Krishna says, these are my separated material energies. And then, in the very next verse, Lord Krishna says, prastas matu bhavanyo, that, no, sorry, apareyam itas twanyam, prakritim vidhi me para. There is another nature which is higher than this material nature of glorified air and ether. It is superior, it is higher. And what is it? It is the living entities. That is us. We are of a higher nature than the material energy. And what is our nature? We are eternal. We're eternal. We are conscious. And actually by nature we're full of bliss. But the material nature, everything is temporary. And there is so much ignorance, dense ignorance actually. And a shortage of bliss. Actually, it's a big struggle just to get a little pleasure on the material level. That is the nature of this material world. So we are of a higher nature. How is it that we are entangled here in the lower nature? We are eternal, but we're all living in these temporary material bodies. So, how could that be, if we have that higher nature? Well, ultimately, the reason why we are caught here in the material nature, ultimately the reason is because we have made the choice. Yes, this is really the reason. We have made the choice. And because we are superior, we are really of a quite superior nature to this temporary material nature. When we really decide in a really firm way, or in other words, we really decide, truly decide that enough of this, I'm getting out and I'm going to come to my normal, eternal, spiritual level. When we really make that decision, then it is not so hard, actually, to get out. Even Srila Prabhupada has made the point that it is possible, theoretically or in principle, it is possible for a person to become liberated from the material entanglement instantaneously, instantly, on the spot, done. So what is the problem for us then? Here we are, and we're here in the Hare Krishna temple, and of course many of you I know, some of you for many years, and in many cases we are practicing Krishna consciousness. In so many cases we are trying to take it seriously and put it into practice and like that, but still we may still be entangled, at least to some degree, materially. So, how could that be if, as we said, or Prabhupada said, that in principle it's possible to just decide, right, enough, done, Krishna consciousness, and that's it. There you are. Well, the reason is, basically the reason is, that to make such a conclusive decision is not so easy. You might think it is, but it's not. We make the decision sufficiently to be here and engaged, many of us engaged in the process of devotional service, but it is a question of degree, really. At least our determination is strong enough to be here. Our determination and the prasadam. I wonder what it will be. It helps. But really, that conclusive determination, decision, full stop, actual end, that's not so easy. And our experience, at least, is that generally it's a step-by-step thing. From initial decision that, okay, I'm going to do it or try to do it. And then step-by-step, as we get more into it and experience more of the benefits of Krishna consciousness, and experience more the negative effects, the detrimental effects of material life, material consciousness, then the conviction becomes stronger. And that decision then becomes stronger until finally it really becomes complete. But there are cases. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the classic case. The devotee's name was Maharaj Katvanga. He is described, is it the 9th canto, 8th or 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Katvanga. And he was a devotee, he was a king and a devotee. And he was a great warrior. One time he was requested by the demigods, the higher material controllers of the functions of the universe. He was asked by them to assist them in fighting against the demons, celestial demons, big demons. Sometimes they try actually to take over the universe from the demigods. So there was a big battle, and the demigods, knowing of Maharaj Katvanga's military prowess, they requested him, even though he's just a human being, to come and fight on their side, and he agreed. And so he did, and he fought so valiantly and powerfully that because of his efforts, the battle was won by the demigods. And the demigods were extremely happy, and they came to him and congratulated him and thanked him. And they said, you have helped us so much. We want to reciprocate. Tell us what you would like. And they, the demigods, they're really powerful. As we said, they're the universal controllers. They're controlling the supplies of all the facilities. As you know, many of you, in Krishna's famous, very famous Govardhan Leela, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. What happened there was that his relatives, Krishna's relatives, they had been in the practice of having an annual Indra Puja, an annual ceremony, big program to worship Lord Indra, because he supplies the rain. He supplies the rain. He is the universal water department. Manzi. I had an interesting experience. I forget. Sometime last year, it's 2011 now. I was at Ladysmith, and we did a program, and then we stayed overnight, and we went to stay in devotee's house, and there was some water shortage or water, some problem, and the water in that suburb had been cut off till the next day. But there we were, and devotees are such people. they like to take baths. They like it. They like to feel clean and like that. So, but there we were. There was no water in the area. So the chairman of the local water board in Ladysmith is a sort of quote-unquote friend of our movement. But he has a connection with our movement. And so I sort of, not exactly complained, but I commented to our hosts, "Oh, no water. What are we going to do?" They called this man up. Within 5 minutes, the water was back on in the whole suburb. Yeah. So he's like a localized Lord Indra. So anyway, they, the bridge busies, Krishna's family members and friends, that was their practice every year because they were farming people. And for farming, obviously, you need nice water supply. So they would normally do that every year to please Lord Indra, so he would send the rain. But Krishna convinced them not to. Anyway, that's a long story. We'll wait for next Govardhan Puja to go through all the details of that. So, yes. Krishna. So that practice is there, the worship of the demigods. And what was I talking about? So the demigods, yeah. They're in such positions that they can fulfill people's desires, at least many of their desires, a lot better, a lot more than we can fulfill our own or anybody else's. So they said to Maharaj Katvanga, "What would you like?" And Maharaj Katvanga, what do you think he asked for? New BMW. Big money wasted. Or new Rani house in Bishop's Park. Or, now let's get ambitious. How about give me an Airbus A380 airplane? We're gonna get serious about moving around. No, you know what he asked for? Maharaj Katvanga asked them immediately without hesitation, "Please, tell me when I'm going to die." Right then. What sort of request is that? So the demigods said, "Okay, just give us a minute. We'll just, have a little meeting and get back to you immediately." And so they conferred briefly and came back and said, "You know what? You're going to die in 1 minute." And Maharaj Katvanga, he just fixed himself in Krishna consciousness. And sure enough, in 1 minute, he died. He went back to Godhead. This is the example. It's there in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada would refer to it from time to time in this regard, in the sense that you can really, ultimately at least, become Krishna conscious as fast as you want to, if you want to, or as slow as you want to, if you want to, or whatever you want. So, yes, that is the thing. It is a question of our decision, really, because by definition, we are superior. We are superior. Srila Prabhupada gave an example to illustrate that a man was walking down the road, and what should he come upon but some other man who was embracing a tree, firmly. He died. So there's this man walking down the street, and then he comes across this fellow who's embracing the tree firmly. And that man embracing the tree was calling out, "Let me go! Let me go!" It's ridiculous, isn't it? That's our situation. It's ridiculous. Sorry. For those of us who want to pat ourselves on the back and tell ourselves we're smart, we got it together, we're going somewhere. But it's really like that. Because we are of the superior nature, eternal nature, not the temporary nature of this material world. Yes. But because of our decision, to try to enjoy independently from Krishna, we have ended up here in the material world, in Rondebosch, or wherever it may be, around Cape Town. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, an interesting type of example, you could say, is given, that the example is that we are spiritual, so we are higher than our bodies, which are simply material, blood and bones, etc. We are spiritual, eternal. Then, beneath us, so there's us, the identity, the entity. Beneath us, we have our intelligence, which we can use in different ways to creatively achieve objectives like that. Then beneath the intelligence is the mind. And the intelligence orders the mind. Do this, do that. And the mind directs the senses to act, to look and hear and do and so on like that. These orders are coming via from the intelligence via the mind to the senses. And then the senses, hands, legs, the organs themselves, then are to carry out those directions and actually execute activities, executing or manipulating the objects of the senses. In this way, achieving different objectives. But the way it's described in, so that it should be like that. But the way things are actually operating in reality, at least when people are on the material level, is that the sense objects are dictating, look at me, don't I look good, don't I smell good, wouldn't I taste good? Sense object is, so to speak, speaking. And the senses are perceiving, for argument's sake. The eyes are seeing whatever it is. Some pleasant sight. And the eyes are seeing that and then sending the message back to the mind. Oh, look at that. We've got to get into that. Or I'd say, we need that. We need that. You know, it might be something like what? Some new clothes. Fancy new clothes. Gucci. I read a few months ago when Juju, I think you know who I mean, Julius Malema, was on trial, whatever you call it. Right? This whole sort of disciplinary thing was happening. He is known for sort of communist leanings. Nationalize everything. Nationalize you. Nationalize all of us. So anyway, I saw a headline. Juju had apparently made a court appearance wearing Gucci. And there was this headline on the newspaper, little advertisement board, Juju in court in Gucci. And I thought, that's nice. You know, so if he becomes the president, which, you know, we all know he would love to do. And I'm sure he's completely determined to do. If he's really a good communist, that would mean Gucci for everyone. Anyway, just get some guys in China to just manufacture them and stick a Gucci label on them. It'll go down well in South Africa. So the Gucci shirt, shall we say, is speaking, not exactly, but appealing to the eyes, and the eyes see, look, Gucci on sale. And the eyes are fascinated, they're attracted. And they tell the mind, hey, look at that, wow. And the mind tells the intelligence, hey, look at that, it's Gucci on sale. We need it. And the mind says, right, let's make a plan. Let's get it somehow. Withdraw some money and then race into the shop and get it. The intelligence is now creating some plan of action. And the soul, or the person, the entity, is just getting dragged along. Well, in material consciousness, when the living entity thinks, I am part of this, that's what I am. What am I? I'm just part of this material world. Then the living entity agrees, yes, oh, that's good. Let's get the Gucci. Or, you know, another example, a cigarette. You know, little piece of dried up, rather rubbishy leaves. Sorry, folks, that's what it is. And the cigarette is, so to speak, speaking. Look at me, you need me. And then the senses are telling the mind, which tells the intelligence, and before the person knows, he's smoking the cigarette. So the little cigarette, it is dead matter. It's dead matter. And it's just very small. But it has now overpowered some big conscious human being. So what? The sense objects rule. the sense objects rule, and they are dictating, and the other parts of the picture, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, and the being himself or herself, are just accepting the dictation and just being dragged around. But it should be the other way up, the other way around. Who am I actually? I'm the eternal spiritual person, the eternal servant of Krishna, God. And so that's what I am. So what should I do? I should render service to Krishna. So how will I do it? Okay, intelligence, make a plan. We will do this. We will get our beads and chant. We will read the book. We will come and attend the program in the Hare Krishna temple. The intelligence makes a plan. And then the mind tells the senses, okay, come on, get into action. And here we are. We do it. It should be like that. And then we then take, for example, the sense object, the motor car, and we drive it here. But in material existence, the actual structure has been turned around the other way. And the sense objects, which in many cases are just inanimate, dead matter, they are dictating. And the senses are accepting the dictation, the mind is accepting, the intelligence is accepting, and the self is being dragged around like this. This is what is going on. So you see, even though we, as eternal spiritual persons, we are by definition superior, but we are under control of the inferior material nature. So therefore, well, that's not a good situation. It's a very bad situation. We should become re-established in our natural position as servants of the Lord. So how to do that? Prabhupada made the point in the purport. It's not so easy that you just say, oh, okay, I'll do it. And there you go. Maharaj Katvanga did, but I don't think we have so many, I don't think there are so many Maharaj Katvangas around. And our experience is that it is possible to make progress, and people do make progress, but it takes time. It usually takes time. So Krishna here is giving the key though in the verse. Mad eva ye prapadyante. Those who mam prapadyante, who surrender to me. Mayam etam taranti te. They can get out of this entanglement in the lower position. Yes, by Krishna's mercy. Because the key, you could say, the key to our decision to be in material existence, the key is, it's a special type of key. How we turn the key, what key we turn to get into the situation. We have to unturn the key. And what is that key? The key is, we decided, I am going to enjoy independent of Krishna. That's what I'm going to do. That was the key. Click. Welcome to Cape Town. Yeah. That's the key. And to get out, it's not just a matter of let's get out. We have to unturn the key and go back to the point that I will serve Krishna. This is what we have to do. This is what it's actually about. And so, therefore, Krishna says, those who surrender to me can easily get out. It should be easy because the material realm is vastly inferior to the eternal, conscious, living being. Vastly inferior. Not just, you know, 1%, 2, 10, 20, 50. We're talking about hugely inferior, the material nature. The living entity, well, is actually, you cannot even really calculate how superior the living entity is, spiritual living being. Because it is actually infinitely and infinite divided by anything finite. You can't do it. There's no way to calculate. And so it should be just easy, like at the drop of a hat or less. But it's not, because it takes turning the key. And when you do that, as you do that, as you give up that whole mentality of independent enjoyment, I will do things my way, for me. I, me, mine. If we can, as we undo that key, which is there in the heart, and really accept that I'm the servant of Krishna, and therefore I must live like that, I must live as the servant of Krishna. As gradually we cultivate that, Krishna, who is watching and who is extremely conscious, extremely aware, fully conscious, Krishna notes, okay, there he is. He turned the key 5%. Okay. Krishna reciprocates. Not necessarily just, you know, 5% for 5%. But Krishna, in a very proactive way, Krishna helps the devotees, gives his mercy. And through a combination of the efforts of the devotee and the mercy of Krishna in reciprocation, then gradually, mayam etam taranti te, Krishna says, they're able to get out of material existence. Not by some other means, like the impersonalist. Impersonalist means a person who basically thinks God is not a person. God is just somewhat light, energy, thing, everything, something, but not a person. This is an impersonalist. Hare Krishna. Suswagatam. So, yes, Krishna gives his mercy progressively. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstatava vajamyam. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly, Krishna says. We were making the point last night, actually. It's not just, like we said, we surrender 5%. Krishna says, okay, 5%. He reciprocates 5%. Prabhupada would say, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. So Krishna, he's very, very kind in how he reciprocates. But the basic point is, we need to try to render service to Krishna. And in this way. Please try and turn that key in the heart, turn the switch back to the position that I am the servant of Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates as we make the effort. And then in due course, you get out of material existence. You get out of material consciousness. That mood that I am the enjoyer. Ishvaroham ahambogi siddoham balavan suki. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. And as a result of all of this, I am perfect and I am powerful. As a result of all this, I am happy in material existence. This is material consciousness. So turning the key, turning the switch back, that I'm not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. And my business is not just to facilitate me, but my business is to facilitate Krishna. Let me just close by giving a little example that Prabhupada gave. It's a very simple example, but it conveys the idea quite nicely. The hand does so many things. And one of the things the hand does is put food in the mouth. Just imagine if you didn't have any hands. You know, you'd be leaning over and licking off your plate, wouldn't you? But we have hands, and it really helps. But one day, the hand considered, what am I getting out of this? For years, I've been putting food in the mouth, one samosa after another. How many thousands of samosas? And how many did I get? Not one. Not one. What? What's that? That's not fair. So the hand decided to go on strike. No more putting the food in the mouth. I'm going to take it myself. And I'm going to enjoy the samosas. So he did. The hand went on strike. And there he was now. The samosas were coming and he was just going, trying to squeeze them in under the fingernails or into the pores of the skin. Okay. And, you know, by the end of the day, the hand was not feeling so good. By the end of the next day, still trying, the hand was really feeling a bit wiped out, a bit wasted. Sure. And the hand thought, well, maybe I should go back to putting the food in the mouth again. So he did. Started putting the samosas back in the mouth. And sure enough, in a matter of minutes, in just a little while, the hand was feeling good again. And of course the whole body was also feeling good again. But in this case, the hand was feeling good again. So you see, our position is, in certain respects, quite similar. We are thinking, as the hand was thinking, I need to get the things for myself and not worry about the overall picture, the greater picture, and my position in the greater picture. I just need to worry about my picture. So, but actually, his satisfaction lay in the satisfaction of the whole body. In our cases, we think material consciousness means, we think my happiness lies in just facilitating me in by doing so many different things for my own sins gratification, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm facilitating my enjoyment. We think, and it sort of looks like that. You'd expect it. You might expect it to work like that, but it does not work like that. You have to facilitate the greater picture, which is Krishna, God, because we're part and parcel of Him, as the hand is part and parcel of the body. The hand has to facilitate the body. We have to facilitate, please, serve Krishna, God. And because we're part of Him, when He is pleased, we become pleased. But when we try to please ourselves, that is not the way to please ourselves. Even though it may look like it should be the way, but actually it doesn't work. It's a very simple example, but it's very applicable, very relevant actually. If we serve Krishna, we'll become happy. If we try to serve ourselves or our senses, then you know, we think we're going to get happiness, but we don't. Actually, we struggle in material life. We struggle and struggle for years, and then you die. Tough luck. I saw a bumper sticker. Don't anyone be offended by this, okay? I hope it wouldn't be considered profane. I saw a bumper sticker. Life's a bitch, and then you die. Don't mind. Yeah. And that was some materialistic person put that together. You know, somehow something clicked in his brain to some degree. Or as the man said back at my youth, 1965, I can't get no satisfaction. I tried and I tried and I tried, but I just, but that man is still trying. Anyway, yeah, don't tell him I said that. He used to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna, everyone. So let's try and serve Krishna, get back into that way of life, pleasing Krishna, not just pleasing ourselves. And then we'll become pleased. Oh yes, it works every time. Okay, we will hand over now to our respected temple president, Jyotir Maya Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.